It's almost hard for me to believe that we're already at the very end of the first, what I think of as a semester. And I hope your groups are going well. I hope you're encouraged. This will be a good time to, again, evaluate the people in your group, whether they need to be continuing on or not. Keep that bar high, as I mentioned last week. We'll keep mentioning that. Opened my group this week with an interesting icebreaker that I think you'd find to be a good one if you chose to use it. It was, what is the most embarrassing or humiliating moment of your memory? Again, this is just a way to get to continue to know one another, just to learn about each other's lives and so forth. So any questions, fine. Don't have to use it, but that's one that I found to be helpful. I moved this week into prayer early on, and we use praying through the alphabet, and just A, how many people wanted to pray for A could do so, and then B, C. As it turned out, our guys just went A, B, C, D, straight around. I asked them, let's not go around in a circle so no one feels put on a spot and so forth, and if you get to a letter you can't think of one, just jump it. And, you know, it can sound a little mechanical and so forth, but for us, it really was a special time. We finished and talked about how it just brought to mind and to memory all of these different thoughts about God that we wouldn't normally have. So good time for us. You could give that a shot. We're still doing the passing our cards around and updating them and reshuffling them, passing them back out, praying for each other. This week I did something that some of you might want to do. I paired my guys together, older members of the group with younger, not necessarily age-wise, but coming into the group. The older the guys have been in the group the longest, I put them over guys that are coming in new, and I said, I want you guys to care for one another in kind of a special way. You're aiding me in my caring for you. This way we've got more attention given to each other and needs and prayers and so forth. Our guys seem to enjoy that idea as well. Then when we came to the truth segment, here's what I did. I won't do it with you, but I took my to summarize portion, and I underscored as I read it every phrase, every sentence that I thought was specifically important to me. It just hit me, resonated with me, whatever. If I were to do it another time on the same pages, I may have underscored different things. Who knows? But I said, guys, I want you just to listen. Don't try to follow because you couldn't. But I'm going to skip and just read underline to underline to underline. It took me maybe a minute to do it. But it brought back and captured the materials before everybody so that then we could start discussing it. Might want to do that from time to time. Here are the questions that I let off with to massage the truth, to see if they were understanding it and getting it and so forth. I said, first, let's list the things that never change with God. And the things they could say is His person or His character, His plans, or you could call that His purposes. His mind never changes. His promises never change. Think of the areas about God that just never can change. And then I asked this. I said, now, that list that we came up with, which is the greatest challenge for you? Which one is, let's put it this way, the hardest to swallow? I mean, you know it, but you just say, I can't quite get it. And I opened up to share that the challenge for me is more in his plans, because I use, for instance, my children and grandchildren. When I think about their lives and the challenges they're facing today and will face in the future, can I trust that God's plan is perfect and will not change and it is good always? Can I really believe, not that bad things don't happen in that plan, but that God has that plan? And so then let them share as well what their area. One person said, it's hard for me to trust God financially right now. I don't have business, and I'm just wondering how I'll make it. So everybody had different issues, but good to share those areas and see where the challenges are. Then next thing I asked was, if God's purpose does not change, why in the world do we work so hard to be responsible? For instance, in eating, we talk about we need to watch what we eat so that we live healthier or we live longer. But now, don't we believe that God has a plan that never changes? He's not going to change His plan based on how He sees us eating. Or Take, for instance, the whole idea of prayer. Hasn't God established his plans already? He's immutable, which means he's never going to change that plan. But here we're praying for things to happen or not to happen. We see Scripture say, you have not because you ask not. So I said, can we reconcile that? And we talked about it, and things came up such as, well, God ordains secondary causes. That's a good phrase to understand there. Secondary causes refer to not just the end, but the means by which God brings about the end, which is his plan, and that he's ordained all things. When you really get down to it, we can't comprehend fully the two together. I use the illustration of a roof, and I said, though every illustration breaks down, think about it this way. We have a roof, and you can get back on this side, and you can read on the roof where we've written the words, man's responsibility, man's free choice, man's will, whatever you want to call it. And you can see it fairly clearly as Scripture defines it. You can walk over on this side, and you can see the word God's sovereignty, and you can understand God's sovereignty. But as you're looking over here, you can't see here. As you look over on this side, you can't see the other. The only way you understand it is up above, and there is a means to be able to understand it. So I again refresh their thinking that there's mystery in Scripture where there's no contradiction. Just because we can't see it from above doesn't mean that the two aren't there at the same time. So we talked about the idea of God's attributes. I said, let me ask you about God in terms of his attributes. Do we have God's attributes? And let them talk about that a minute. And they'll, well, yes. Well, no. Well, the truth of it is we have some of his attributes. To put some words on it, if you'd like, they're called communicable and non-communicable attributes. So I asked, for instance, let's use those words just from what you hear. What do you think a non-communicable attribute would be? And we're studying one this week, God's immutability. We're not immutable, but God is. Now, on the other hand, God is love, and so are we. In fact, we, in our communicable attributes, the ones that we have from him, we have because of him only. And so we are in his image, and that's why we have certain attributes, simply because we're in his image. But that doesn't mean we have all of his attributes. We talked about this this whole idea of the importance of the understanding of who God is. For instance, I could say, I use an illustration. I'm with some guys. I'm sharing the Lord with a group of pagan guys that just were very much against Christianity. And one of them, very boldly, with great cocky type attitude, this was an athlete. In college days, he was a college athlete, and he says, you know, I don't believe in God, and if there is a God, and if there is a heaven, I doubt there is, but if I die and find out there is, I will break through the gates of hell, and heaven, I will take it over if I have to. I'm not concerned about God. Well, now, what does that tell us about that person's view of God? And somebody said, well, it means that God's not powerful. He's not omnipotent. That's correct. And then I took just a several of these I listed that, what if you are finding yourself totally just wrung out in worry over something you're going through? What does that tell you about one's view of God? Well, that God does not have a purpose, that he doesn't have a plan, that he's not in control. So you can just take one issue after the other and realize that it reflects back on your view of God. There's a little statement that I love to use. It says, a man's view of God will determine his or her way of life. And there's a lot of truth to that. So then we talked about as dads, and you can do the same as moms, if you have children. So what are the implications to parenting? And here's the great implication. We need to be training our children. We've got to be thinking, how do we teach them about God as he really is? And we do that two ways. One, we do need to give them instruction. Make sure we're instructing them well about God and his nature and who he is. At different ages, age appropriate, you're going to step it up as they get older and older and teach them more and more, certainly better and better. Hopefully the church is helping well in that endeavor. But there is another way of teaching them, and it's a vitally important way, and that is that we live out what we see of these attributes that are communicable. For instance, to the degree that as a father and mother, demonstrate love to the child, never perfectly, but demonstrate a lot of love for that child, then it's going to be easier for them to embrace what they've learned, what they've heard about God being a loving God, because they've seen it modeled through their own parents. If they see parents who are just and they end up doing things that seem fair and right, that's easier to believe God would do the same. But as we begin to counter the communicable attributes of God in the way we live with our children, it's going to be all the tougher, even if they're taught the truth about God, to be able to embrace it. So these are very important weeks as we study about God. I hope that's been very helpful to you. And then we move to accountability. I set a goal for our guys. I just said, I'd like for you to embrace it. And I just challenged them. I said, would you take on this goal? We're not going to have assignments this next month or so where we have a break. Would you focus to say your plan is to get 21 days consecutively in worship? Not that there's any magic to it, not that we earn the favor of God, keep remembering that, but we need to establish good habits, and this is a great season to do that. So just one thing you're going to do, it's going to be get your personal worship on a daily basis in terms of your activity with your group. That'll be kind of the goal. When we got to mission, which is coming up in just a minute, by the way, I gave them a second goal. I said there'll be two goals. The second one was let's each of us this particular week try, or this particular month off, ask God before we come back together, give us one opportunity. And I think the way I wrote it here was to talk to someone about spiritual matters. Doesn't mean you have to share the gospel fully. Many of you have been equipped and trained now already, and if you're at Perimeter in our training, Express, or in your church, wherever you may be, hopefully you've got training that you've gotten. But whatever abilities or training or tools you have, to just try to say, God, would you give me an opportunity to bring up spiritual matters and to talk about it with somebody? Now imagine this. I know in our church, I was preaching this last week in Matthew 7, ask, seek, and knock. Ask means just a request of God. It means you have a need. Seek is asking plus acting. It means that we also are responsible. So if we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, there's the ask, but we seek when we begin to work to be able to buy the bread that God has provided and so forth. So there's a responsible agent there, element to it. And then knocking is the persistence. And I said, can you imagine that we would ask, seek, and knock for God to give us an opportunity to share about Him and His love with someone who He is desperately wanting to have the gospel given to, that God would ever say, I'm not going to do this one. I'm not answering this prayer. This is a prayer we can count on. It will be given. So let's try to challenge our folks to that. So anyway, the questions 3 and 4 on page 8 were the ones that we focused on. And then we went into our mission lastly, and those that attended our own training, they shared what they gained from the learning of the tools of Express. If you're in another church that's not used that, that wouldn't be applicable to you unless there's been some training they've taken. Then spend a few minutes discussing our group service project that we're undertaking. And then we just close it out in prayer and ask God to missionally use us through the holiday, and ask God to begin answering that prayer and to help us in our 21 days, and just a real quick close out in prayer time, and we were off. So that's just another model for you to look at, and hopefully it helps you find a little something you might add or change if it's helpful. And I just trust you're having a great time this first semester, and as this now winds down, we'll look forward to getting back next year early in the year and watching what God's going to do. So have a great holiday, and the Lord bless you.